That was way too fast. We better run that by again. Y'all want to? I always worry about it when the offering plates go by that fast, because the bills come in just as fast. Amen. I started to say we'll run that through the cow again. It reminds me of the Peace Corps worker that was raised in the city and sent overseas to help a struggling village. And so he was going to milk the cow for the farmer. And the farmer come out there after a while, knew something must be wrong. And the young man had the cow by the throat and was trying to pour the milk back in his mouth. Farmer said, "What in the world are you doing?" He said, "Well, I thought it come out a little thin. I was going to run it through again." Sort of like the coffee pot, amen? Anyway, isn't it amazing how one trip through the coffee just takes the best out of it? Anybody besides me ever tried to cheat on it and run it through a little bit more? It don't work too good. Yeah, not too good anyway. My wife cannot believe that I can leave coffee in the pot all day and come in the evening and heat it up and still drink it. She thinks you gotta have a new fresh pot. Hey, it's still coffee. Maybe a little thicker. May have to add a little water to it, but anyway, it'll work. Now, about the third day, it's getting a little. All right. I don't know if I've really tried it on the third day. Second day, yes, I have. Book of Ezekiel this morning. I'm still having a little bit of a noticeable problem in my throat. Not bad as it was. It seems to be gaining. I'm seemingly talking out of my lips more than my throat. And so maybe a little while longer. Now, Stephen's, I brought it home to Sonia. She got rid of it. Now, I think he's getting it, but I'm going to force him to preach this morning anyway. Anyway, we'll be all right. Give us time, I think. Ezekiel, open the book of Ezekiel to chapter 38. I had started several weeks back going through this passage because of all the unrest and all the problems over in Russia and Ukraine, but I called Mr. Putin and I told him to just hold off until I got through teaching this lesson. You say he wouldn't listen to you. Well, he won't listen to John Kerry or Obama. If he won't listen to them, I'm not offended if he don't listen to me. Amen. He's sure not paying them no mind, I'll tell you that. But anyway, this portion right here, current world events today, look like it could be shaping up for the very thing that we're going to be reading here in these verses. I'm just, I thought about just going through and hitting the high points, and then I thought, no, I'm just going to read some, make some commentary on the verses, and hopefully you'll meditate through it. I give you a little background. You remember in chapter 37, the analogy of the picture of the bones. How many of you remember that song, "Them Bones Gonna March Around, Walk Around," whatever you remember? Would you believe when I was in high school over here in Haines City that they actually had a Southern Gospel Quartet come into assembly and sing? I remember them singing that song. I didn't know it was, anything about the Bible, but Ezekiel's bones. And them bones, foot bone joined onto the leg bone and the leg bone joined onto the hip bone. Remember all that? I still think that'd be a good one for church, Brother Cruz. In fact, I think you and could get you up a gang and do that. We'd get them bones joined together. But kind of cute, but a real truth there. And the truth is that Israel, the nation, said their bones are dried. There's no hope for them. And God showed Ezekiel the vision of the valley of the dry bones. And he asked Ezekiel, "Can them bones live?" And Ezekiel was smart enough, diplomat enough, he said, "Lord, you know," I'm paraphrasing now, but he showed the bones coming back together. And now with the animation they've got and all the electronics they've got, they make a pretty cute thing of the skeletons dancing around, and I'm sure you've probably seen that at some time or another. But it's a picture, of course, of of Israel coming back to life, and a picture of their dry bones being brought back from the various nations where they've been scattered. And an interesting thing there in chapter 37, there was a division, you know, between Israel and Judah. You find them even fighting each other sometime in the Bible. But in this chapter 37, the analogy is given of them coming back into being one. And so what we have today in the fulfillment of this, as we look on Israel as a nation today, knowing they came back, raised their flag in 1948, been there ever since in spite of all the trouble. And we see the truth of this, that they are one nation now. They're not Judah and Israel. They're one. All the folks, you know, you have a Bible preacher every now and then talking about the lost tribes of Israel and so forth, and they were apparently lost to history a little bit, but God never lost them. And in this latter time, he's brought them all back to Israel. And I don't mean all the Jews. There's a pile of Jews in America and other places. Many of them left Russia, though, as you know, and came back. And even Ethiopia and places like that that we would not think about, a lot of Jews have returned to Jerusalem. But the Bible wrote it ahead of time. The Bible predicted it. And now headlines of the newspaper confirm what the Word of God has said about it. And it says in verse 22 of chapter 37, I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. And there shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore at all. Now, that's where we live now. Now, in the Old Testament, there was that division often. But it's no division now. And they are back. And now as we move on down and pick it up in chapter 38, I want to read the very last verse of chapter 37 again. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Now he jumps here to a ending, a conclusion, a climax. Now the heathen here, the word heathen in the Old Testament is often representative of all nations except Israel. And so the word nations would fit right there in the sense the heathen shall know the nations. And you keep hearing this theme now as we go through this chapter 38 and chapter 39. God is concerned about his name before the nations. And they're going to know it's him. They're going to know it's his hand when he does this thing. And so he has a concern. Interesting here when he said, my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them. Now, I don't know if that's the rebuilding of the temple, but it could be. The place he's going to be in the midst of them. Now, starting, and I might have started it before, in chapter 38, we start getting an inventory of the nations that's going to gather together and unite to be against Israel in the last days. Now, let me get you to look at one big picture. What's going on now with the Prime Minister of Russia and United Nations and America and England and Germany and all this is a jockeying around of taking positions that the Bible already said they would take. It is amazing. I remember when the wall came down in Berlin, when Ronald Reagan had the courage to say, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And it was a bad blow to communism because it wasn't the tearing down the wall. That was a result of the strong stand that the president had taken and spent the money to build up the military. And it had gone down, but he built it back up. And he was threatening them with what was nicknamed or called by the media Star Wars. And of course, that related to the Lucas films. I never did see them, saw some flashes of it on TV, but whatever it was, Luke Skywalker or something, some of that business. Anyway, Star Wars. And it had to do with war in space. It had to do with satellites and lasers and so forth. There's some that still strongly believe, many thought Reagan was just bluffing, And it worked, because we were outspending the Russians. They couldn't keep up with it. They couldn't put their missile defense up against that. And that's the common knowledge. There's some that believe that we actually did get some weapons up in space, and that they're now. I don't know that. I'm just talking about, you can hear all kind of theories, so you can't go by that. But anyway, it brought Russia down. Some of us was over there shortly about the time of Perestroika and Gorbachev losing power and Yeltsin coming in and all of that. By the way, when you hear talk in America that we need a revolution like that, there's only one way. Now, I'm as conservative as you can get. I'm as patriotic as you can get. And I hate what is happening to our freedoms and our property rights and all that bad stuff that you hear, gay marriage, the whole nine yards. I hate that business. But you can't go out in the street with your dare rifle and start a revolution. That's plain stupid. You can't do that. You'd wind up being shooting your next neighbor that might be a deputy or something. I mean, that's crazy. The only way a nation can have a revolution much anymore is for the military to revolt. And that's some of the politicians that are most corrupt, they fear more than anything else the fact that the military turned on them. That's what happened in Russia. Some of you remember in the news, Yeltsin was in the parliament building over there where you see the gold domes when you see Moscow and Russia. He was in the parliament building. Some say he was eating pizza and drinking Pepsi Cola. I don't know. But Gorbachev had been a coup, and they had him under house arrest, basically. And so the military was ordered to basically put it down. And some of you have been over there. There's a great big square in front of the Kremlin. They used to have Lenin's casket there. I felt so sorry when I was over there in that cold, snowy weather for those two young soldier boys that was having to march in front of Lenin's casket out there. They had to march with their rifles back and forth, freezing to death like all of us, and in front of his tomb. That went on, you know, for years and years and years. And what they would do is they would take that body back behind the wall, I guess at night. And of course they were trying to preserve it. You could look through the glass casket and trying to preserve him to look like he always did. And they'd take him back behind the wall, and ever so often that body got a treatment of some kind they put on it, formaldehyde or whatever it was they rubbed it down with. And somebody said, why don't they just do it out there instead of taking, well, they didn't want to change their linen in public. That's silly, but some of you are catching on. That's really what they did, though. They rubbed that body down to preserve it. Well, when the revolution took place, that body kind of mysteriously disappeared, you know. But anyway, I said at the time, because of what Ezekiel says here, that communism was not dead, that it would rise again. And while everybody was rejoicing, I said, wait a minute, the Bible's going to be fulfilled. It'll come back. Well, it did come back. It is back. And yes, I'll tell you this without any apology, there will be a nuclear exchange sooner or later, because the Bible says so. And that'll happen. And we'll read about it some in these verses if you stick with me for a couple of lessons. But say, what's behind it all? Well, here's the big picture. The big picture is what you've heard old preachers that believe the Bible preach for years. That is that in the end times, there'll be a one world government. That's the whole design behind it all. Now, I'll say some things I don't want you to misunderstand me on. Think about it a minute. The United Nations is not our friend, but we pretend they are. And we pay the bills for them with our tax money. And yet, in our leadership in this country, whether it be the leaders we know about in the news, or whether it be a invisible government behind them. The whole plan is to help bring in that one world government. Many folks do not know, and I've written a quote in the side of my Bible here if I can still read it. Many folks do not know that the charter, or basically the Constitution of the United Nations, makes this statement, and this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to put this alignment of nations, this one world government, we're trying to put it together. Here's what it says in the Constitution of the UN. I'll quote it as I've written it here. The age of nations must end. The governments of the nations have decided to order their separate sovereignties into one government to which they will surrender their arms. Do you understand? That's their constitution. That's the plan they're following. And the plan is all the nations surrender their sovereignty under the rule of the UN and give the UN control of our arms, which means our planes, our bombs, our nukes, our army. That's their plan. Now, do you see the picture coming together a little better? They've been following that for a long, long time. And so today, when you hear some conservatives fussing about us signing a treaty with the UN, they know what they're talking about. Some of the military boys have let us know that in some of the meetings that they have been in, and what I'm saying now, going out on the radio, I'll probably have some stupid liberal out there call some authority, but so far I'm still practicing within the constitutional right of free speech. But what I'm saying to you is some of our own military boys have said in meetings where they were asked this question, are you willing to go confiscate or enforce laws on American citizens? And what happened in Russia when Yeltsin was in the White House drinking Pepsi Colas and Gorbachev's friends had ordered the army against him, the tanks were rolling and some of them had already fired a few shells into the buildings, and the Russian people came out like ants out of an anthill. Just amazing how they can fill that square so fast with bodies. And they came out, and some of it was shown on the news, where some of these Russian mamas climbed up on slow-moving tanks. And, of course, many times the man will open the hatch and be out on top of the tank as he guides it. And they beat on those tanks, and they hollered at those boys, and those Russian mothers stopped the tanks. And the soldier boys, their sons and citizens, refused to fire anymore on Parliament. So the coup finished up with Yeltsin being the man in control for a while. Now, I'm not praising him that much. He and Gorbachev both were interviewed on TV, and Yeltsin basically said he believed in God, and Gorbachev said he was an atheist. Oh, yeah. Watch something besides Ofer. You can get some of this sometime. Anyway, that's what it would take in America, and we're not even close to that. We don't even come close to that. What happened over there with the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt was the same thing. When Morsi got elected by that false election and the Brotherhood was taking over Egypt, Muslim Brotherhood was in power, and the military revolted. And so they arrested Morsi and put him on trial, and they're still in charge. The military right now is still in charge in Egypt. That's the only way that kind of thing can happen. But what I'm saying is the whole world is jockeying into position. They're coming out on stage. They're taking their places for the end time drama that the Bible has already said would be played out. And it will. Now, we'll think about some of these words as we read them, and I'm not going to get into it too deep. I just I tell you what, if you could, before you go to sleep at night, if you'd meditate through about chapter 36, 37, 38, 39, it'll give you good dreams. The best part of the dream is, if you're saved, born again, you're probably going to get out of here before the worst of this. Now, I can't guarantee that. Some folks believe this is the Third World War, and that it will take place, and it will even be somewhat of a cover for the secret rapture when God's people are called out. There's all kind of beliefs about it. But there are a number of facts that's so clear that you no need to speculate. They are going to happen. Just like Russia has come back in the news now, and all the coalition of nations with them. So it says in chapter 38, verse 1, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him." Now the word chief here in English carries with it the name Rosh, from which you get Russia. And if you want to do a deep study, go back into the genealogies of Genesis and study where the tribes settled, and you'll find out this particular area here of Russia fits. Meshech, many believe that's the root name of Moscow. And Tubal here was a root name for Tobolsky. Tobolsky is where Lieutenant Powers was flying our spy plane over in the days of Eisenhower, and the Russians was able to shoot him down. Remember that? Okay, well, that was right in that area, right there. Verse 3, "And say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I'm against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I'll bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords." Now this is an army that's armed. They've got their weapons out there and described here. A part you've heard me mention many times if you've been in our church through the years, I said even back when everybody was saying communism had fallen, that God would one day yet put hooks in their jaws to bring them back, pull them down. Now, when you put a hook in somebody's jaw and pull on it, he's probably gonna go that direction. I mean, that's what gets the fish out of the water. It's when you hook him in the jaw and you pull, he has a tendency to follow the hook, don't he? And so God's gonna hook this nation. He's got a grievance against them because of the when Lenin and Stalin and all they did to God's people through the years. Horror stories you wouldn't believe. When we were over in Russia and met with the underground Baptists, and many of those preachers had been in jail anywhere from 5 to 20 years for what? Having a Sunday school or preaching the gospel. God's got, he's got an axe to grind, and here we find out he's gonna do it. But let me also say this, there's been some good improvement in Russia as far as freedom goes. They actually, for a period of time there, allowed us, I went over there and many of you did, and we distributed New Testaments. I saw people line up when we'd open a box of New Testaments on the street near the opening of a subway train. They do have a great subway system in Moscow. And we'd open boxes of New Testaments, and people would miss their ride and wait on a later train because they were lined up in a line waiting to get those New Testaments. It was something to see. Now, it's not like that now, but for a while, because freedom had come, and to have the Word of God, I could tell little side stories on that. I'll try not to here. But because of that, a lot of freedom came to the place that when we went over there, we got into school systems, even into the University of Moscow. And still today, it's a lot easier to get in their school system with a Bible and preach than it is ours. That's sad, but that's true right now. It stands true right this minute. You say, why is Putin making his move? Well, like I told you, the Constitution of the UN wants to put the one world government together. You know who's not playing with them very good right now? You know who's not being a team player right now with the one world plan? Israel and Russia. I hate to say it, but America is playing ball with them. And there's two that's bothering them. Of course, they're on opposite sides of the fence, but Israel's not playing. And all of a sudden, Russia now is kicking over the traces. That's an old farm boy story. Anybody ever plow a mule and have him kick over the traces? Don't have time to teach his sons. Anyway, getting out of the harness, not pulling. And so Russia's pulling another direction right now. They're wanting their territory back. They're wanting their authority back. And they're wanting their wealth back and all that. So the hooks in their jaws has to do with oil, has to do with the riches of coming down against the Middle East, all of this. And we'll read that in these verses right here. Let's look at the alignment of nations here again in verse 5. Persia, now you know that's Iran. By the way, that covered more territory than it even covers today, in the day that it was called Persia. The name wasn't changed all that long ago. It's hardly been 100 years, if that long, since the name was changed from Persia to Iran. Ethiopia, that's played in the news. Even Israel themselves outfitted some big 747 jet planes and went into Ethiopia and hauled out the poor people that were Jews, brought them back to their nation and so forth. And Libya, Libya's been in the news, and Mr. Gaddafi, he's been disposed and all that. But the nation Libya, that's over there still, right where we had our embassy ambushed, you remember? Because they got mad over a little video. If you believe that, I'd like to sell you a bridge. Amen. But anyway, all these are lined up here. All of them with shield and helmet. They're going to join in this war. They argue about who Gomer is. They argue here about the house of Togomar, which possibly is Turkey, most likely. And in the north quarters, you can figure all that out if you want to deal through the lineage, especially back through Genesis. Verse 7, be thou prepared and prepared for thyself, thou and all thy company. God's directly addressing now the leader of this nation of coalition of nations. He's directed to him here in verse 7. And it says, and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, what's the next line? This is so powerful. Be thou a guard unto them. You let them come under your umbrella of protection. You let them join your coalition. So here is a coalition of nations that's going to move down against, we'll find their direction in a minute, going to move down across the Middle East, destination basically being Israel. Say, well, where's Israel going to go? Their plan is to push them into the Mediterranean Sea, push them into the ocean. It's not going to quite work because God's going to intervene. But that's the plan. Be thou a guard unto them. Verse 8, after many days thou shalt be visited. In case you think this was a historical thing that's already happened, look what it says in verse 8. After many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years. Tells you when. Thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword. Never been a land that the sword has been as prevalent in as it has over in the Mideast and Israel and so forth. Jerusalem is a city that's been sacked to the ground more than most any city in the world. Somebody said it's a little piece of dirt that's been fought over than any other place on earth. And of course, the Jews believe it's the center where God met with man, where the temple was built. Before the temple was built, it was the place where Abraham was ordered off for Isaac. That was Mount Zion. Later on, when Jacob ran away from home, fearful of Esau, the first night he spent, the first rock under his head as a pillar was the same location. The Jews believe it's a special portal where God came down, and still very special to him. They believe the Holy of Holies was located right there where Jacob spent the first night away from home. And how many ever heard of a Jacob's ladder? All right, he saw the ladder up to heaven and the angels descending and ascending on it, remember? Anyway, it's a special place with God. So here, we got this coalition of nations under guard by this northern power that will be described that way later, Russia. coming down. Verse 8, after many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years. Gives you the time setting. Thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, that is gathered out of many people. The Jews have been now gathered out of many people. Against the mountains of Israel, which have always been waste. They were, but they're not now. I've said it to you before. I got a tree over there growing. I planted on one of those mountains. Several folks have. But it is brought forth out of all the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. You see, while we have the little skirmishes and so forth with Israel through the years, basically, it's been the safest time for them, really, since 1967 on, because supposedly, now it's going to call them unwalled villages here. They don't have walls today. In the days when the Bible was written, in the days of King David and so forth, Jerusalem had walls. In that sense, they don't today. There's a few remaining short pieces of wall over there, not much compared, and it's not their protection. In the old days, walls were protection against arrows and stones and so forth, but not against missiles and stuff today. Somebody says, why is Mr. Putin acting up now? Well, I think he sees his opportunity. I think he sees America weaker than we should be. I can't believe, even during this disturbance and this talk that was going on, our president, even in a foreign speech, told them all we're getting rid of 400 more nukes. We are cutting our army to smaller than it was at the end of World War II. Now, is that supposed to scare Mr. Putin? You got two men out here, and they both got big sticks, and one of them says, you better be afraid of me. I'm throwing away my stick. That don't make much sense, does it? Of course it don't. And so we're doing something stupid, but you keep the idea, it's this thing of all the governments becoming one. And having a one world government that has the financial assets and has the military weapons, controls the army, all of that, all the stuff. By the way, anytime you apply logic and reason to what's going on, it'll never come out right, because they don't go with that. They got a bigger plan than that. It's not of God, I guarantee you. Anyway, I got to quit here, but it's coming in the latter years against the people that basically are at peace, people that are going to be in the mountains areas of Israel. Those mountains have always been waste, but it is brought out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. That's verse 9. And I wish you'd read on through it and think about the words. I'm gonna go through it again next week and finally finish this chapter. It is so pertinent, though, as you turn on the news and see what's going on. And here you are reading what God said would happen, how this crowd would collect, who they would collect against, and what their plan is, all written 2,800 years ago from today. At least, maybe 3,000 years.